Today is May 12th, 1997. That's fifth month, 12th day, 97. And I'm Delmer Zimmerman, a volunteer interviewer for the Germans from Russia Heritage Collection, North Dakota State University Libraries in Fargo. And it's a pleasure of mine to visit with Sam Esslinger in Ashley, North Dakota, on a cool spring day. And before I go on, Sam Esslinger is an uncle of mine. Whenever we get together, I always say I've got two Uncle Sams, my Uncle Sam Esslinger and Uncle Sam in the government. So we'll start out with the questions. What is your name, your date of birth, and where you were born? First of all, your name?
Sam Esslinger.
Sam Esslinger. Your date of birth?
May 21, 1907.
So that means you're gonna have a birthday next week, and you're gonna be how old?
Gonna be 90 years old.
And even 90 years old. That's pretty good age. And where were you born?
In South Russia.
South Russia.
Freidorf.
Freidorf, South Russia. Okay. What is the name of your father, and in what village in South Russia did your father's family once live? First of all, the name of your father?
My father's name was Solomon.
Solomon, and what village did he live in South Russia?
Groß-Liebendahl.
Groß-Liebendahl, which was a...
South...
It was a, south, a village southwest.
A village southwest of near Odessa.
Near Odessa, Russia. Okay. When and where did he die? When did he die?
January 5th, 1943.
In?
Near Danzig, North Dakota, at his home.
And where is he buried?
Well, that's about a mile and a half north from his farm home.
Out in a rural cemetery near, yes, near where he lived.
Where he lived.
Okay. What is the name of your mother, and in what village in Russia did your mother's family once live? The name of your mother was?
Carolina Salzer.
Carolina Salzer. Okay. And what village did she live in?
In Buzanova.
Buzanova.
South Russia.
Buzanova, South Russia, okay. When did she die?
February 19th in 57.
In 57, okay. And that was, where did she die?
In the Ashley Hospital.
In the Ashley Hospital. And they were, while they were still living in the farm near Danzig,
yeah,
right?
We had, hospital was new.
Oh.
It was the first year that the hospital was gone.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the beginning of the hospital.
And when your dad died, there was no such thing here as a hospital.
He died at home in the house.
Yeah. Okay, where is she buried?
On the same place my dad is buried.
Okay, near the farm.
Which was on his land.
Hmm. Okay. Okay, how many brothers and sisters did you have in your family?
I had 7 sisters and 6 brothers.
Okay, so there are 14.
14 in the family.
14 in the whole family. All right. Can you give the names of your brothers and sisters in the order of birth, either from the oldest to the youngest or the youngest to the oldest?
K. Can I say them just as they were born?
First? Sure, you bet. Yep, that'd be good.
First was Pauline. Then was Jacob. And then was Carrie. And then was myself. Then was Willie, John, Maggie, Fred, then one died. And then was Lydia, Rose, Emma, Eugenia. I left one out.
You left one out?
I forgot Edwin.
Oh, Edwin, do you know?
He was next to Lydia.
After?
After Lydia.
After Lydia, okay. So between Lydia and Rose was Edwin. That's all right. Between Lydia and Rose, we had Edwin then, right?
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Would you happen to know the name of the one that died?
Conrad.
Well, that was Conrad. Huh?
Conrad was the one that died.
Conrad.
I think he was a year and some months old.
Well, that was a pretty good-sized family. I couldn't remember. If I'd have that many, I just have two brothers, and I can't hardly remember who they are.
We should have got them ready a little bit before, so yeah. We could have got them more
no,
correct.
No, that's okay. We got them in there now. Do you have recollections of what your mother told you about the old country living in South Russia? Anything that she might have told you about old South Russia?
When they had company sometimes those years, then they talked a lot how they left over there and what they had. And as the farmers went out from their little dorf to the field, they had to stay out all day and come back late in the evening. Some stayed out for the weekend. And there were wolves out there that were dangerous. Some people got eaten up by the wolves, they said. And some of them said they come out and then their horses were eaten up. There was nothing left but the hand plow and the harness. So that I don't know, but I heard that when she talked to this, to the company they had, and
yeah.
I just listened what they said. So.
Yeah, you remember that all over all these years.
Those were some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had to, the cow they had close to home and milk the cow and kept close to them and watch. But the wolves were bad there.
What a dorf was like a what?
Well, the dorf was what they called Freidorf.
Oh, okay.
And they lived like a little village or colony, they called it.
The dorf, yeah. And Freidorf happened to be one of those dorfs. That's interesting, yeah.
That's where they left. And my mother, she was homesick. She said, we left everything we had, just bundles of clothes we took along. And the dog, they loved so well. And they had to give up the dog. And when she was home, settled on the place here where they were settled already for then, the year two or three, whatever it was, she was so homesick, she said, if she'd only could see that dog once more.
Yeah, homesick for, that shows that they were homesick for everything.
Yeah, for everything.
Yeah.
And if they'd had the money to go back, they would have gone back. Because
but they didn't have enough money to go back.
They didn't have enough to come hardly. They had to have help to come here.
Yeah, yeah. So. Now the other question is, if you remember that from your mother, what do you remember anything about what your dad told you about the old country, or was that pretty much the same?
Well, it would be the same, I guess, when they visited, but I couldn't say anything that he just said, but he was glad he was out of here because there was war. They got drafted, and so they hurried to get out of here.
And at one time?
They were on the ship, he said, 16 days. And towards last, my mother said she just thought they'll never see daylight no more, or Earth.
Yeah.
It's just dark and water.
Yeah, yeah.
But they made it.
Now, going back to the war, they were promised at one time that they wouldn't have to fight in a war, right?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
My dad was in training. They all had to take some training. And when the time came up, they were called there, so they had some start already. But the relatives that were out here, they sent the money, so they were able to come.
Now, how many of the family members came over from Russia at that time?
Well, I was the last one.
You were the baby.
Four. So the folks and four kids.
So that was quite a group to take care of on the way over here, too.
Yeah, they said I made them a lot of trouble.
By doing what?
On the road, on the way for, well, maybe sick. So many got sick. And I told them afterwards already when they said, you made us enough trouble. I says, well, I didn't want to go and you took me.
So you wanted to give them a bad time, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of seasick on the ship, they said.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Do you remember anything do you remember that you were sick?
No, I don't remember.
You don't remember nothing. No. Yeah. Well, how old were you at that time?
A year and
some
months.
Yeah, that's pretty young yet. So, yeah. And Pauline, the oldest one, how old was she?
Well, she was about 4 or 5 years about that time.
So all four of you were pretty small.
My brother Jake, he says he remembers when they got off the ship, they had kind of a wooden sidewalk from the ship over to the walkway, and it was awful stormy. And he says he had a little new cap on, he says, and he was so glad he had that cap when they left for the road. And here the storm took that cap off and it went down in the water, and he jumped and hollered. And one of the helpers there, he had a long stick, he says, and he reached down and got that cap back up again for him. And he was so glad he had his cap again.
Is that right?
It was Jake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it went.
Now, when you came over here, you said earlier, you showed me a poster of some kind in there from Ellis Island.
Yeah.
You got that from them, or did you get it later on?
No, my kids, the grandchildren, they gave a donation when they remodeled this Ellis Island, and they asked for gifts, and they gave a donation, and then I got all this
certificate showing that you got off at Ellis Island.
They said that my name should be on that memorial board, whatever they got there. They spent, I don't know how many $100 on that.
Did you go, you never went back there to see if your name was there?
Julia always said, we're going over there someday and see all that, and we're still on the way, but if we get there, I don't know, I don't think so.
Well, I'm going to have to remember that. If I ever go over there, I'm going to see if I can find it.
We talked about it once in a while, but it's getting old.
But that's really something to be able to
name. Must be something like this on the memorial over here in Washington with this World War Memorial.
Yeah.
Where all those names are on. You see people there every day. And
that'd be...
By the millions on there.
That'd be quite an honor to have your name on that.
Well, finding it just...
That would be the next toughest thing, yeah. Yeah. Okay, do you remember family stories about the ancestral German villages of South Russia? Some of the other villages besides Friedorf?
I wouldn't know of any.
Do you remember any other names of villages?
I really don't.
It's a long time ago. Do you remember times when your ancestors wished they were back in the homeland? I guess you probably answered that already.
The first year, that's when they said that they'll never forget about the trip and how much they'd like to get back, but they were not able to.
Yeah. And like you said, if they were homesick for the dog, they must have really been homesick.
Yeah, my mother said it more than once.
One more time, huh?
Yeah.
Do you remember if your family ever received letters from people in the old country?
I really don't remember. My dad done a lot of writing, but he done the writing to those relatives that were scattered around, like Winnipeg, and where some of those friends were, he knew they're out here. He done a lot of writing, but I couldn't.
Now, when your dad left with you four children, was that all that was over there, or did they have, were some of his brothers over there yet?
No,
the sisters.
We were the last ones that left. The rest were all over here.
They were all over here.
By Harriet, South Dakota, and some were in Ashley. And all those relatives helped get my dad over here.
Oh, so he was the last
one. He was the last one.
Yeah.
Except his brother. He stayed there. He went to the army and never come back, never seen him again.
And who was he?
Philip.
That was Philip.
Yeah. He was called to war, and he was a soldier, and something went wrong, and they sent him to Siberia. And nothing sure of him.
Lost track of him.
Lost track of him.
So your dad, his family was the last one to come over here, except for Philip, and he went into the army and
he was already gone.
Was sent to Siberia. I've seen some tapes and films of people that were sent to Siberia, and boy, oh boy, that wasn't very nice. Those pictures I saw weren't very nice to look at. They didn't treat those people very well that they sent up to Siberia.
Well, they say they took them there for punishment. There was no law how to punish them, so it was a cold country, and there they get their stuff. They got to work or whatever, go along with what goes on.
Right. What language did you speak as a child?
German. And when I went to school, I walked to school with Pauline and Jake, and there were a lot of Jews living around here. The most kids that were in school were Jewish.
Is that right?
Yeah. And we were fighting.
Now that was in the Danzig area?
That was right up here by that dead end, 7 miles north. There
seven
was a schoolhouse in Lydia District. Our district didn't have a school.
Oh.
So they walked just out of Danzig District into the Lydia District. There was a school the closest.
And there were some Jewish kids there?
Yeah, there was.
Now, did you find out about some of the Jewish, how they lived, the Jewish life?
They were just small farmers. They lived farming just like our dad started, the same way. But I don't know, in a few years, those Jews, they all disappeared. They went, there was Silver Lakes, Rappaport, Weissman, Reuben, all those, Schlesinger.
There's one of them that I'm thinking of to see if you're going to mention. One was a cattle buyer that I remember.
The Dorfman,
yeah.
Greenberg. Oh, there's mostly all Jews.
There was a Jew that owned that land that Irvin was on one time.
Who's Irvin?
Page. Was that a Lux or a Lux? They lived out in California. I'm not quite sure what their names were. Henry? Louis Reuben. Louis Reuben. Oh, that was Reuben. His last name was Reuben.
Louis Reuben. He had a town. The house is still in town here, which he had built that time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Louis Reuben. He had a lot of land. I even rented some later when he was dead. I rented some from his daughters. They lived in Minneapolis. And the land is still around here.
Yeah.
They still got some of it.
What was the name of those ladies that you rented from? Do you remember?
Sally was one daughter of Dorfman's.
So that was Sally Dorfman.
And she was married to Auburn.
Well, you must have listed about 8-10 Jewish families. There were quite a few then, huh?
Well, they were all Jews.
Yeah.
Even in town and business, there were cream buyers. The grocery stores, there was Sam Reich. I can't think of them fast enough, but
yeah. Now, you said most of them left. Did they go out west or east or south?
No, what we found out, or as much as I remember, they always said they went to Minneapolis.
Oh.
Yeah. And some did, but if they all went, I don't know. But they were farming small, just with a few horses and...
And some of them were businessmen in town.
And businessmen there.
Were they pretty... They must have been pretty successful then, because they had this land that other people
rented
out. Well,
I think everything was handled or run their way. And if the others, like, if the other Germans come in from outside, like our folks and all others, they were a little bit different, so they kind of lost out, I guess, and they left where...
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed when I drove in, I drove by the Jewish cemetery out here.
Yeah.
They still keep that up the way it looks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We had a tape the other day. I was on the tape about a year ago.
I saw that on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who keeps it up?
Well, I think the state or some. I don't know.
Oh.
But they always hire somebody that keeps it clean.
Because there aren't any Jews. Are there some left
there?
Yeah,
there's one grave marker there, which I remember that Auerbach, he was in the store here, which is the clothing store now. It's empty here in town. Yeah.
Auerbach walked by us often,
was a good friend with
his father.
He was a friend. Yeah. No, that's okay.
Yeah.
But right now, are there any Jews living in Ashley that you know of?
No, the last one that left a few years ago was Kuhn. He was a dentist.
Oh, Kuhn.
And he fixed my teeth, and I still got him.
I remember.
He was a good dentist.
I remember the name, yeah.
Yeah. So?
Do you remember, you talked German. Do you remember the dialect or what they call the... Just ordinary German, huh?
Yeah, well, we called it Deutsch.
Called it Deutsch, yeah.
And then there was a Hochdeutsch.
Yeah. Deutsch and Hochdeutsch, yeah. Yeah. What were some of your childhood chores that you enjoyed doing when you were a youngster? What kind of chores did you have?
What to do around the farm?
Yeah.
Well, when we were on that farm from the beginning, we didn't have no fence for the cattle, for the few they had. We had to watch the cattle during the day, feed them.
Feed them, yeah.
And watch them so they stay home, get them home in the evening for the night. They had a little pen, put them in there, and in the morning to let them out, and then during the day we had to watch them for a while till a year or so, and Dad fixed a bigger fence, and then...
Did you like doing that?
Well, we didn't know any better. We just enjoyed being out there, catching gophers with a string. We didn't have no trap, so with a string, you put it and sit there and watch when the gopher come out while you pull the string and pull it shut, just the rope. That's the way we got gophers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when we had them, we played with them. We was going to lead them around, but they led us around then.
Led you around by the string, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What other chores did you have besides that, if any?
Well, farm work was with and harvest. My first job was drive a header box. Everybody that had a header and a box, they had any kid could drive two horses almost. As soon as you were old enough, about 9 or so, 10 years, you could guide the horses and drive along the header. And the header box was my first job. And I've done that for Adam Birch. That was a neighbor of ours that time.
Was that fun?
Well, no, it was, well, I thought it was a man's job. I thought I'm doing good.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. That was good. Did you ever get any hair, any dust down your back?
Oh, yeah.
Any straw? Any straw? Yeah.
Yeah, or went down the stack and slid down or fell down.
What was it like on a nice, clear day when there wasn't any wind?
Well, sometimes it was hot and dusty and
sticky.
And the horses, they had flies, they went after them, so they had to watch them, and they didn't want to stand or stop or... Yeah.
If you didn't want to do these chores that your dad wanted you to do, if you didn't do it or do it right, how were you disciplined? What did he do?
Oh, no, he just told us by word. He teached us by word, so we understood it.
When he said do it, you do it.
Yeah, we had, when he told us to do this and do it that way, we had to do it. if it wasn't done right, well, he explained it, but we had no problem that he had, was rough with us.
Yeah, yeah. So in those days when they told somebody to do something, they'd do it.
Yeah, that, yeah. And we didn't get around like we do nowadays, or the young kids do nowadays. We were home, and that's where we belonged.
Yeah.
And when it's chore time in the evening or in the morning, whatever there was, go milk the cows or get them, or everybody had his milk stool or his milk pail or his cow to milk. This was mine and this was the other's. And
yeah.
That was a home of working together.
Work and play together.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like in your school?
Well, we walked to school most of, always. I started before I was old enough. I didn't want to stay home. So when the other three went and I should have stayed home, I didn't want to. So I walked along and I went to school from 6 years on.
How far did you have to walk?
Just about a mile.
That far?
Yeah.
Early in the morning and then back in the afternoon, late afternoon.
Well, when it was real cold and snowy, they took us with a little sled. And when Pauline and Jake got bigger, we drove the horses and kept them there sometimes. So, yeah, but most of the time we walked.
How much education did you have?
Just past the eighth grade.
Past the eighth grade.
And there was no time to go and graduate. I should have write exams. And I was hired out for spring's work. And it was, school wasn't out yet and the farming was going, so I was supposed to start, and we didn't take time to go to the examination. We don't need that. We better go and work.
School was out.
School was out, and my school was done, and no diploma or anything.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I wouldn't have passed. I don't know. That's why I can say I got a diploma.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, none of us went to high school.
And everybody was pretty successful.
Well, call it that way, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Were there kids of other nationalities there in your school, or were they mostly all, they were all German?
The first 2 years, there was mostly Jews. And Johnson's, they were Norwegian. And Allen, Chester Allen, that family was Irish. And they just called him Irish.
Hmm.
Chester Allen was his name, but they all called him Irish.
Are any of their kids still around here?
They disappeared before schools were out.
Mm-hmm. When you were in school, what were some of the subjects that you had? Pretty much the same as today, or?
Well, it was still the beginning, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Spelling. Friday nights we had a spell down. And who was the last one or the best one? Was it the... that ended up.
How about playground experience? What kind of games or equipment did you have, games played?
The games were pom-pom pull away. That was run around, catch each other, I don't know, just anyhow, that was a running game. And then ball game was throw it over the roof, and we called it, what do they call that?
Was that, I remember one, Andy Iover.
Andy Iover,
was that, was that it?
That.
Was that it?
Yeah. Fox and goose in the fresh snow, made a wagon wheel and run around it. Sometimes we had the teacher out playing with us, and we played so well and so fun. Good time, all at once the superintendent came. And we were all playing, and it was, should have been school time.
What happened then?
Well, I think the teacher got a lesson from them.
She got a talk. She got a talking to.
He come unexpected on horseback. He
yeah.
There he was.
Yeah. How about the teachers? What were they like?
They usually come from out of state. We had one from Indiana. His name was Sam Rutt.
Still remember his name?
Yeah. And he come back up here for 3 winters, I think. And the last fall when he come with a Model T. And he had to cut it off and had a little box put in the back, and he drove it sometime in the winter, but he couldn't. It was too hard to start, so he walked to school wherever he boarded. And when it was warm, he fixed it up again and started for home. Took his stuff on and went home. It was Indiana. And there was one from Indiana. It was Irvin Clark Glenn.
Boy.
He was one of them that come from Indiana, too.
Yeah.
He was a good teacher. We liked him anyhow.
Yeah. Did a teacher ever stay at your place?
No. When I was not home no more, then my dad had that bigger house, and then like Rebecca Kessel stayed with our folks. But then me and Jake and Pauline were gone already.
So. Yeah. No, Kessel, that sounds like a name from around here. She was from around here.
Kessel, he was the implement dealer here in town.
Yeah.
And their girls were school age teachers.
Anything about the school that we should say or should talk about?
About what?
About the school or education.
Well, I don't think we had much of an education.
Well, if you learn to read and write, that's
important.
When
I went to school, as far as I got was that one room school.
Yeah.
And later when I didn't go to school no more, they built a new one.
Oh.
That was...
Same, on the same place?
No, on the right place where they had four schools in the district, so...
Oh.
But then I was done already.
Yeah. How far was that from your place then?
It was just the other direction, northwest.
Nothing there anymore nowadays.
No,
when you go
later
up there.
Later it sold and moved off.
Yeah. We'll switch a little bit to religion now. In what way was religion and the church an important part of your upbringing?
Oh, that was way different then than it's now. Like the church, there was no church when I was real small, I mean from the beginning. There was, but the neighbors, they started a church in the schoolhouse.
First in the homes.
And then finally they had the right to go to the schoolhouse. So there was a school for a number of years. And then finally later there's more members, they bought a building or made a church, started.
Now how did they decide whose home it would be in?
Well, they decided or changed off. That was easy to decide. Some had so small a house they couldn't do it, and some had a bigger place that was chosen to have a church at a home.
Uh-huh.
And later when the school was once available, they got it, so it stayed in school.
Did they have a minister then that came? Or?
Well, I remember they come walking first once, and they was here maybe once in a month or so.
From town?
Well,
they walk in from town? Or?
They walk from town or caught a ride out which way they wanted to go. And I remember they come walk to our house sometimes on Saturday nights. And here he is, and he just stayed till Sunday. And they had services, and then after noon lunch, we had to hitch up the sled and take him to town, take him home.
Then he was gone, and then you get somebody else?
Yeah, and what happened next 3 weeks or so, He'll got his way there, walking or whatever, got a ride.
Would you say religion and church was a pretty important part in your life at that time?
Not at all. I didn't know there were so many different kinds till later they got different.
Yeah. But religion was pretty important. They were pretty strict.
All those farmers or those newcomers, they were strong for church.
Yeah.
When somebody moved in, they looked around where there was a church or settled where there was a church started already.
They believed pretty strongly in the Ten Commandments, I bet.
Yes,
huh?
They were. They were for church.
Yeah. In what language was your church service?
Straight German.
Straight German. Prayers were German. Everything was in German.
Reading and singing and all.
Still have your German Bible?
We haven't got the German Bible, I don't think. By the time we grew up, when we got confirmed, we got a catechism. That was English already.
That was in English already. Do you know about how old you were or what time you changed from German to English? Was it how old? Early in your life? What time?
I don't know. I maybe was 16, 17 years old already when English started.
Now, you're like your mother and your dad coming from German background. What did they think of switching to the English language as far as church was concerned?
They got slowly used to it, but the German, they missed that very much.
They tried to keep that as long as they could.
My dad was leader in church for long, and he was German all his life till he got sick. He was always the deacon.
He was one of the deacons, huh?
But he got sick when he was 56, I think. He turned sick, and he died when he was 64 or something.
So, as far as religion, I suppose, at the table, you have grace almost all the time then?
Yeah, we all had to say a little prayer all together.
All together,
Yeah.
How about devotions? Did they take time for devotions, or?
The folks did, yeah.
Yeah.
But towards later, that got lost, too.
So when they came over here from Germany and Russia, they became Americanized after a while, huh?
Yeah, kind of slowly. Everything was new, and they slowly grew.
But they tried to hang on to it as long as they could, though.
Yeah.
Like you said, your dad, he wanted to keep that German as long as he could, huh?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
As long as he was able to.
What did baptism and confirmation mean to you?
Well, I thought that's something that had to be, so we went along with it.
Learn more about the Bible and figure that was part of the...
We had very little studying in Sunday school. That was not much that time.
Were the Sunday school teachers
pretty... Well, my dad taught us all as kids, those Ten Commandments and all this stuff. He taught us that at home.
You had that at home?
Before they had school going, Sunday school or
something. Yeah, yeah. And then confirmation, that came at about what age then?
Well, about 15, 16.
Now, when you were confirmed, was there any kind of celebration at that time?
No. The biggest celebration was we were only 8 of them that got confirmed. And they took 3 churches. There was a church east from Ashley, and one was a town, and ours was to the north. And to get enough kids together to keep that confirmation together and make it go.
Keep it going.
So it was only 8 of them. We had to go together. And then it was held here in Ashland one afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and go home again. That was all.
Now, you said their churches moved from family to family or from farm to farm until they got a new church. At first.
Well, some, like Ashley, had a church.
They had a church.
But the farmers didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived out on the farm, and they first had it in homes for a number of years. And then finally, when the schoolhouse was available, they had it in the school. And finally, there were more members, so they bought and moved one on our land there.
Were your parents and grandparents involved in the founding or joining of another church? Or were they the same church all the time?
They were not close to us that time. They lived away further. They were in Harriet and Ardis.
But they've always belonged to the same church.
Yeah, as much as it was then.
Yeah.
I think that time there weren't as many as we got now. I don't know.
As many?
Many different churches.
It's possible, yeah. Yeah, that's possible. How did your family deal with death? When people died, how did they handle that? Did they grieve a lot, or was that just something that happened? Or?
Well, I really don't remember. I don't think there was. They done everything at home. They kept them at home. There was no undertaker or nothing. They kept them in a cool place till the day when they took them to the cemetery. They had a buggy or a sled or something and put it on, and one had to drive the team, horses, and whoever wanted to or was fit to.
Wasn't even an undertaker?
No.
Our mother was in her front room for 3 days, I think, in the coffin.
Yeah.
Yeah. They kept him at home in the house.
Yeah.
Which was best.
Weren't they embalmed at that time then? Or?
I don't know. Nobody had done anything.
Are you familiar with the wrought iron crosses as grave markers?
Well, I think on the Catholics I see that quite a lot. But in ours, there's just concrete markers.
Just ordinary ones, yeah. Did your family have a special design? Your family didn't have a special design for
For the family?
Yeah, a grave marker. No. Yeah.
As they died, there was somebody that sold those markers, and they come around, was going to sell you one, so they bought one and they put it up.
Yeah. Does your family have any heirlooms and objects of sentimental value that have been handed down? Like, did your mother and dad have something that was handed down to you and that you'll hand down to your kids? Do you have anything that you're going to hand down to
so far
your kids?
There was nothing that went from one to the other.
Yeah, no. If you had if your mother and dad had valuable stuff, who took care of that? Valuable treasures? Maybe at that time
nothing that we had to do or what. There was just so, see how you make your living on.
Yeah. A little bit to some of the holidays. How about, how was Christmas celebrated in your family?
Well, often 2 days.
2 days?
Yeah. Second Christmas Day.
You know, on Christmas Day and then
and
the day
then
after?
Then
the day after.
Second Christmas Day.
Well, what would they do on both those days then?
Well, they'd go visiting or just didn't work on the field or this or that or go to town on business. It just was just like a Sunday. Go visiting.
Do you remember some of the Christmases during the years of the Depression? How were the Christmases during the Depression different than other days or than other years, or were they all pretty much the same?
Well, I think it was not so much to spend on those days.
Probably Depression all the time.
Yeah. I remember that when they had all the candles, there was no electricity or anything. They had to put some candle holders on and put the candle on the tree, and then when the program was, they had a man or an older boy watch the Christmas tree in case the fire should start. All those candles, and they had a stick with a wet rag on in case they had to put one out, so they just touch it and put it out.
Oh.
There was no switches or anything. There was just, here we light them and there we blow them out.
Did they put a lot of candles on those trees then?
Well, quite a few, 15, 20, depending on the tree.
How about Easter time? How did they spend that? What did they do at Easter?
It's about the same way, I guess. Visiting and...
They believed in the Easter bunny and Easter eggs and things like that, or...?
Well, the kids, they usually put a basket someplace and made believe that the folks made believe the rabbit's going to come and put some eggs in there. You've got to get that nest ready and put it here and there. Well, some way it was done, and kids got up in the morning while there was some eggs, and same way with the stocking and the chimney. It was just fool the kids, I guess.
Yeah. No, was that something that they brought over from the other country, I suppose?
Well,
huh?
I don't know. Yeah. That's must have.
Yeah. Now, switch to what was special about marriage ceremonies? How about weddings? How were they? Or where were they?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Were they married mostly in the homes or in the churches? Or?
I think they were married in churches mostly.
Mostly in the churches. You remember anything about any of the weddings?
Well, I remember one. Pauline was getting older already later, and she had a good friend in Danzig. and that girl got married, and she wanted to see that wedding. So us kids, we took the buggy and chased over that afternoon to Danzig, and that church was new that time, just the ones down here. Yeah. I remember when the church was built in Danzig, the first church. So we took that wedding in, and we sat there and watched it, and went home again. So.
It was a new experience, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about the wedding receptions? Where were they?
No, they usually at the home of the house of the parents, if they had some. Some yeah. took off right away, and away we go.
Did they have any music and dancing and things like that? Or?
Oh, some had real good time. Yeah. A lot of dancing.
How about your family?
No, this was not in our style. No.
No dancing. No dancing in the Esslinger home, huh?
There was no celebration going on in our weddings.
Yeah.
Well, later ones, the younger ones, they got more chance than we had. But the older ones, they just got married and go to work.
So they didn't. When there was a wedding, that didn't last 2 or 3, 4 days. It was a little time, and then it was all over, huh?
Yeah, that was short.
Well, who was invited to the weddings then?
Usually the close relatives, uncles and aunts, and the preacher.
Neighbors too. How long were the wedding? Like the sermon, were they about like they are now, or did they have longer sermons? Or
no,
for the weddings?
It was very about much the same.
About the same, yeah.
I think it's all the same story over and over.
Yeah. You guys started it all, huh?
Well, maybe.
did people get together sometimes to sing German songs?
Yeah, they've done that a lot. Our folks and the neighbors, the German type, they just got together a lot in week evenings in wintertime and just sang songs. They sing them here once in a while now. I still remember some of them.
Yeah, I suppose, and mostly in German, huh?
Yeah, this immer freilich, yeah. Alle Tage Sonnenschein.
I should have you sing one.
Yeah, I can sing.
Huh?
I can sing. My dad was a good singer.
Was he?
And so was Carly Waltz. And then they started that out, they kept that going, and others come, and they kept singing.
Continue that, huh? Well, one thing I was going to ask you with the weddings, did they have charivaris at that time?
Yes.
What did they do?
Well, I went along once in a while. No, it was just fun, and some turned into fight.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What did they do? Put cans behind the... Well, they didn't have... Did they have cars? Depends on what time we're talking about.
The first ones, they were with buggies yet,
buggies, yeah. Did they put cans behind them too, or?
The buggies, not that I remember, but with the car.